a.k.a. Bose Nerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
And welcome to your Monday afternoon with James Golden, a.k.a. Bose Nerdly. You can reach us here at WABC, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. We have a full hour with you here, hoping to take some of your calls, as many as we can squeeze in the show today, and cover as many topics. News, of course, is always bursting at the seams. There is news in each layer of the federal government. I want to start, however, with a column that is in the GateStoneInstitute.org website. It is called A Hinge Moment of History. The author, very well known to those who listened to Rush Limbaugh's show for many years, veteran guest host, one of the wittiest and smartest men in the world, not just of politics, but in the world, period, Mark Stein. Mark begins A Hinge Moment of History this way. These are bullet points, and then he has a further article behind the bullet points. I'm going to do as many of the bullet points as I can. It's a lengthy piece. We won't be able to get to it all. I have lived in countries that have real domestic terrorism movements. No country blessed enough not to have a domestic terrorism movement should be inventing one. Number two, we are living in a blizzard of lies. Three, we are more dependent on a handful of woke billionaires to tell us what reality is. They are far more open than ever that they get to determine what are the agreed facts. Google made an explicit announcement about this recently. They said that sometimes they would put warnings on things that are factually accurate because even though they are true, they do not think it is in society's interest for people to be seeing it. That's stunning. All of them are, actually. Mark continues, now you will be banned or deleted or blocked or silenced simply for disagreeing with the official version of events. For example, the Great Barrington Declaration, which was written by three of the most prominent epidemiologists in the world from Harvard, Oxford, and I think it was Stanford, that was basically deleted from YouTube, banned from Facebook, simply because it contradicted the WHO CDC official version of events. Next bullet point, A Hinge Moment in History by Mark Stein. It is just groupthink enforced by a cabal of woke billionaires who have more power than anyone else on the planet. The other thing that emerged during this year very quickly is that we are at a hinge moment in history. We are told a generation or two back that by doing trade with China, China would become more like us. Instead, on issues such as free speech, we are becoming more like China. American companies are afraid of offending China. American officials are afraid of offending China. We are adopting Chinese norms on issues such as free speech and basic disagreements with the government of China. Next bullet point. We are living in the early stages of a future that is a direct, that is, let me start this again. We are living in the early stages of a future that is the direct consequence of poor public policy over the last couple of generations. We're not even aware of that. Right now, we are witnessing a nonstop continuous transfer of power to a country that is serious about using that power. This is China's moment. Take it as someone who grew up in large part and a great power in decline. There is no real explicit handover day. People, in hindsight, expect to pinpoint the day that the baton was passed. My great worry, says Mark Stein, is that actually the transfer to China has already happened. The baton has already been passed. We just haven't formally acknowledged that yet. Mark Stein continues. Disclaimer, this is Mark Stein speaking. This is not James Golden speaking. Well, it's James Golden reading what Mark Stein said, but you'll understand why the need for the disclaimer when I do the next bullet point. I'll say it straight out loud. I do not think that Joe Biden, quote unquote, won the election, end quote. I don't think it's a question of widespread fraud. I think the way the system works with the Electoral College, you only need actually to spread fraud in six key cities in six key states. Mr. Stein continues. I would like some of these genius jurists, including U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice Mr. Roberts and his colleagues, to then give us a figure on what is the acceptable level of fraud in American elections. Denmark, in its history, has never actually had a plausible accusation of any kind of electoral fraud. As we know, in the United States, in cities like Philadelphia, this is a tradition that has long roots and goes back 150 years. Mr. Stein continues, a hinge moment of history. If you have no basic election integrity, essentially, all the other issues are irrelevant. Next point. Big tech has essentially wrecked the internet. Next. Now Facebook is working with state power. The first place these big tech guys learned to do this was with China. I'm in favor of breaking these companies up as soon as we can. Mr. Stein continues, Standard Oil was broken up because of its control over the oil business. Facebook and Google and Apple have far more control over their businesses than Standard Oil did 110 years ago. The difference is that their business is knowledge and access to knowledge, which is more important even than oil. At some point, continues Mr. Stein, if we're not prepared to stand up, my whole thing in all these years is that Western civilization is sliding off a cliff, and most citizens of most Western nations are not even aware of it. I'm going to end with, this goes on and on. It is just brilliant. I'll just do a few more, and then we'll head to a break, and we'll come back. I see we have phones already lining up, and we've got so many other issues to discuss. So perhaps three or four more. Mr. Stein continues, there is a moral component that we are overlooking. We live in an insane world where moral narcissism attaches to whether or not you rampage around some statue of a Confederate general who died 150 years ago. The fact that you're rampaging around the Confederate general while wearing shoes made by child labor somehow does not impact on your moral virtue at all. Let me repeat that last sentence. The fact that you are rampaging around the Confederate general while wearing shoes made by child labor somehow does not impact on your moral virtue at all. We are the civilization that built the modern world. If you don't like us, we can go back to what it was 500 years ago. Basically, the world functions because of the world we built. I will end it there, but this treatise by Mark Stein continues, and it is absolutely brilliant. Now, there's plenty of COVID news. There's a lot of news today coming out of Texas. There's a lot of news about the debt ceiling. There's more news about General Milley. And that news runs in two directions. Mullen, pretty much General Mullen came out and supported him, said it's not unusual. And, of course, we have others who are saying that Mullen's abuse of power continued or was present long before these other episodes became known with China, that he has been out of control for quite some time. So it's still, you get both sides. You get one protecting General Milley at all costs, the others outlining just how he has abused his power as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for some time. He will be testifying before Congress in the next 2 weeks. So I expect that that story will recede until that testimony begins. I will say again, if nothing is done about General Milley, this nation is overlooking one of the biggest scandals in its history. And this general should not be allowed under any circumstances to be held unaccountable for what he has done. James Golden here with you, WABC Talk Radio 77. We are indeed the crown jewel of American radio. We welcome your calls. We will take your calls. We also have a check-in at the border. If you were with us Friday, we had an amazing account from the border down in Del Rio, Texas. We're going back today because a lot has happened. Todd Bensman told us he's down on the border. He told us when he was there, the crowd was about 10,000. It's grown since Friday to over 15,000. Again, more on the border situation coming up, the out-of-control border situation. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. We are coming back with you right after this.
Entertaining and informative. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on the air. 77 WABC.
WABC Talk Radio, 77 New York City. We are the station that you grew up with. The station that you love. And we're so glad to be here with you this afternoon and every afternoon, each weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Followed by Cats at Night. And before us, of course, the mayor, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. There's a story in the Los Angeles Times today, written by Sarah D. Wire, that is one of the most disingenuous stories these kind of stories really do make me angry, and I try not to get angry. The headline of the story is threats against members of Congress are skyrocketing. It's changing the job. She opens up by telling us that a few months ago, Representative Norma Torres, a Democrat from Pomona, received an anonymous video of someone following her car. The camera pans down to a 9mm handgun on the seat. The male voice says, "I see you. I've got something for you." Next, in June, police charged a man with making terroristic threats against New York Republican Tom Reed by leaving a dead rat with a noose around his neck and a brick with one of his family members' names on the congressman's doorstep. Police intervened in January, writes Ms. Wire, when more than a dozen Trump supporters confronted and surrounded and threatened Representative Lou Carrera, Democrat from Santa Ana, as he was catching a flight at a Washington airport. It was a year that kicked off with the deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol. For the first 3 months of the year, Capitol Police recorded 4,135 threats against members of Congress. If that pace continues, total threats in 2001 will double those in 2020. It is a trend, she writes, that has been growing for years. and Capitol Police are scrambling to keep pace. And then we hear in the story, I'm skipping down a few paragraphs, it is difficult and particularly difficult for the family, said Representative John Garamendi, Democrat, Walnut Grove, who once as a state legislator had a gun pointed at him during a town hall. There are risks in this job. There's no doubt about it. We spend millions of dollars to let everybody know who we are so you become a target. Experts, and I'm two more parries. Experts blame much of the increase on social media and cable news. And it's easy, and how easy it has become to threaten members of Congress behind the anonymity of the internet. This paragraph. 4 years of President Trump's divisive and racist rhetoric played a role, they say. No, I started to call her name. No, Sarah, you say. Experts say. See, this is how they write. Experts say this. Expert. Who are your experts? Name them. Name the person that says 4 years of President Trump's divisive and racist rhetoric played a role, they say, emboldening people to say things publicly that they might have grumbled about privately in the past. Now, why did I say this story makes me mad? Number one, that shot at Trump, which they all do. They all make these accusations, hiding behind the anonymity of so-called experts, even though Sarah is the writer here. That's what she wanted to say. Now, here's the other thing. Did you notice what was absent in this article? Well, I did. I noticed that there was no reference to California's own, Los Angeles' own, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who told her people to go out and confront Republicans. Don't let them eat in peace. Don't let them do anything. You see them, you confront them. Ms. Sarah Wire of the LA Times conveniently leaves out the congresswoman sitting right in her hometown, Los Angeles. Why is that not mentioned? Why aren't the attacks on Tucker Carlson's family's missing? You're talking about cable news? How about these lefties showing up at Tucker Carlson's house trying to scare him, his family, and threaten them with violence? You talk about threats? That little outfit in Virginia that threw Sarah Huckabee out when she was having dinner, and they gleefully dance all over their hatred for Republicans. So, Sarah, yeah, you threw in a Republican in here, but basically this is about how your poor Democrats are being threatened. But you left out, Sarah, how your Democrats have incited these threats to people in the media and on the Republican side. Why would you leave that out, Sarah, if you're really trying to get a point across about threats? Now, let me make it real clear. I don't support any threatening behavior. Our society, there should be no threats of violence against our elected officials, nor our media officials, or our media pundits, or none of them. It is unacceptable. It is unacceptable, the language that is used on Twitter routinely. But that's one-sided, because Twitter will let haters like Louis Farrakhan on to spew whatever he wants to spew while removing Donald Trump, the president of the United States. Explain that. See, this is what we can no longer trust. We don't trust your sincerity. Sarah D. Wire, staff writer, Los Angeles Times. Either you're terribly ignorant or you're biased. Pick which one. You don't recall Maxine Waters threatening people. We do. We take that seriously, especially when people acted it out. Recall some of the hatred that you on the left with your boycotts, and it didn't just start. You're chaining yourselves to trees and threatening the lives of people who's hardworking people in the timber industry. Your attacks on the farmers because you thought they were harming the environment. Miss Sarah D. Wire, how about threats against members of the police force? Another officer was just killed in Houston today. Why don't you mention that in, along with this trend of behavior, and how BLM has contributed to that, Miss Wire? Why don't you talk, Miss Wire, about the threats that congressmen and women have made and executed on American people? How their governors in blue states have threatened their livelihoods by shutting down their businesses, by shutting down the livelihoods of landlords, by not allowing them to evict people who don't pay their rent. Let's talk threats. There are plenty of threats, Miss D. Wire, in society today. And many of those threats are coming from the left and what they do to Americans. Let's not forget, Miss D. Wire, the threats of Black Lives Matters when they went through that St. Louis home in a gated community, stormed the gates, approached his home, and when he came out and tried to defend his home, he and his wife get arrested. What about those threats? What about threats to people in Portland and Washington State? You beat up, your Antifa people beat up Andy Ngo. You literally tried to beat that man to death. You don't mention that. You don't mention your leftist threats to the children of this nation. I have a story in here today I'm debating whether I want to get to. Because when I read it, I said, I simply cannot believe this is happening in the schools. It is a story of what is happening in a Texas school where a parent once again had to stand up because the book that her kid read, the books that were given to her children in the name of diversity, were about a Black kid and a Mexican kid getting together having anal sex. And the parent objected to it, and they wanted to throw the parent out of the meeting, I do believe, is what happened. Or they shut her mic down. How about the threats that you make to American children every single day by leaving them uneducated in every blue city in America? How about the threats to American citizens that you on the left give with your defund the police movements while you walk around your elected officials like AOC, the squad, and the rest of them walk around with high-priced private security? Meanwhile, the people in these cities are affected by this continuous attack on police that has demoralized the police in these neighborhoods. How about those threats, Ms. D. Wire? When we come back, we're going to take a look at the border, and then we're going to your calls. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, WABC. Right back. All right. Hey, Rich, when is summer over?
James, I believe it's Wednesday. This is the autumnal equinox, right?
Yeah, okay, so we've got two more days of summer.
Two more days.
All right, cool. Stevie brings us back. WABC Talk Radio 77, New York City. This was one of my favorite songs when I was a young teenager. All right, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to head to the southern border. We are very gratified to have with us again Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Studies. And Todd, I asked you the first time, and for those people that weren't here on Friday, I'm going to ask you again to help put us in perspective about the work that you're doing. Tell us briefly, before we talk about what's going on in Del Rio, what the Center for Immigration Studies does and how people can find it.
Sure. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it. Center for Immigration Studies is a Washington, D.C. policy institute that studies policy as it relates to immigration of all sorts, legal and illegal. Border security produces papers and research and does communication about all things immigration. So the best place to reach the material would be at cis.org, Center for Immigration Studies, on the website. On our website, we have a huge archive there of material.
Okay, now you've been at the border, and you gave us an amazing report on Friday. At that time, you said 10,000 people were there. What has transpired over the weekend at the border?
Very much. So for one thing, it moved from 10,000 to 15,000 in the day or so afterwards because so many people were still pouring into the into that encampment. And it became such a an obvious crisis point in the overall border crisis that the administration finally had to act. Although I will say that, you know, it was their inaction and policies that led directly to this huge encampment. I don't think we've had an encampment this size in U.S. history. I'm not aware of one, if there ever was, 15,000. So the administration finally did move a few days ago with Texas Department of Public Safety and other agencies to try to shut down the spigot coming in, the pipeline of people coming in, forced the Mexican government to intervene on its side, put Texas DPS troopers on the part of the camp that where the immigrants were coming in with about 120 vehicles, and then began bringing buses, school buses, anything with wheels that looked like a bus, they brought it in, and have been slowly filling them day and night to try to bring down the number of immigrants in that camp. So now it's probably back down from 15,000 to anywhere from 11 to 13,000, depending on who you're hearing it from. They're slowly able to get control over the numbers and to remove those people to other Border Patrol stations around the state and around the country, really, where they get processed in a less visible environment, right? Most of those people are going to be processed into the country. They'll be given legal authorization to stay until they can apply for asylum. But others are being deported to Haiti itself. The majority of these people are Haitians. And so the administration has done something really unusual for this administration. This is more of a Trump administration policy, which is to fill ICE Air flights with Haitian immigrants and fly them to Port-au-Prince and drop them on the tarmac. And that is happening. So there is a tremendous deterrent effect from that happening. And that, if anything, above all other things, seems to have staunched the incoming tide of new immigrants, although I am not 100% sure about that. And stop me anytime if you have a question.
Well, I'm just listening. This is fascinating stuff. Now, I have my own theory about why the Biden administration is turning back Haitian migrants, not necessarily the Cubans, but they really singled out the Haitians. And my own theory about that is, well, if you look at the vote, that if you look at votes and how Haitians in America vote, you will see a surprising number of them vote for Republicans. They are not going to be allowed to stay, many of them. That's my own theory. Now, look, you've talked to many of these immigrants. You've talked to them on both sides of the border, which, yes, by the way, thank you for doing, because you get all these reports and then all of these people, their conditions, no one talks to them. You are talking to them. Tell us what they are telling you.
Yeah, well, for one thing, people need to recognize that these are not desperately impoverished earthquake victims. are fleeing a country whose president just got assassinated. That's not who these people are. These people are, they have been living in Chile and Brazil for years. So they're expatriates who have been working, and most of them have had authorization and residency in these countries, and they've been doing pretty well there. They are not fleeing an earthquake, okay?
Okay.
So I just want to put that on the record. I have, how do I know that? Because I've been interviewing Haitians for about a year now, actually, all up and down from Panama all the way through Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, you name it, and in the U.S. And none of them are coming from Haiti. They are all coming from these huge populations in South America. Okay, so what they tell me is that they came for the Biden border. They perceived that it was open to them after 4 years of Trump. So they were waiting for Trump to leave office in these countries. And as soon as they he left office and Biden opened the border to family units and the crisis began, and even before then, they came to take advantage of that. They were being let in. Haitians have been let in by the tens of thousands, legalized and rewarded for their illegal entries. So that's what they were doing. But the Mexican government, at the Biden request, was slow rolling their progress forward in the last 6 months. And the way the Mexicans were doing that is they said, if you come into our country, you can't go past the southern province without legal documents. And of course, it was taken. They were making sure that it would take months to get those legal documents. Then what the immigrants told me is that all of a sudden on Sunday, September 12th, the Mexican government said, never mind, you are free to go. And all of those thousands of Haitians that were trapped down there left. And these are the ones that showed up in Texas at Del Rio. All of them, any one of them that you ever ask, say, I just came from Tapachula. I've been trapped in Tapachula. And all of a sudden they said, I can go. And the Mexicans did this. The Mexicans are the ones that did this to the Biden administration, despite their diplomatic agreements. So that's going to be up to Biden to deal with, well, between him and the Mexican government about whether their Mexicans are going to be allowed to do that again the next time that there's a buildup on their southern border. So,
are the conditions on the ground there still despicable? What's going on the ground under this bridge and now beyond it?
Okay, so I have been on the ground quite a bit inside the encampment. And what I see is pretty bad conditions. They do have porta-potties, plenty of porta-potties, but I'm telling you, it is a major stench. It is awful. You get anywhere near that row of porta-potties, but nevertheless, they have them. They also have water. Government is bringing water. There is some food being by church groups being sent in there, but it's nowhere nearly enough for that many people. That's a medium-sized town, keep in mind. So the result is that these immigrants have created a supply chain, a supply line to Mexico. And this thing is incredible. When you see this thing, there are people, hundreds and hundreds of people crossing the Rio Grande on a rope line to Mexico. And then they go into Mexico and they buy up the food in Mexico and their basic necessities, and then they return back over the border. By the way, there are no police or no uniforms anywhere near this thing. Nobody is even trying to stop it because they recognize that they need supplies. So this is both. Yeah,
this is insanity on parade. We're out of time for today. I'm going to have you back again, Tom. Todd, if you're willing, I'm going to have you back again. I'm sure the American public really wants to know what's going on there. So I'm not going to let this go. So I hope you can come back and join us again later this week.
I'm happy to. And also, you know, I have lots of video on my Getter account, T. Benzman Getter. And I'm posting a lot of it. I was just in Mexico all day yesterday with migrants. There's at the bus station, they are fleeing. Some of them are fleeing. That's another story. But you can find my video and photos there as I travel.
Okay, great. Todd, thank you so much. And we will hear from you again later this week with the crisis at the southern border. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, your phone calls are coming up. We'll be back right after this. Ah, yes, the Temptations. Bring us back. WABC Talk Radio 77 New York. Rapid phones are coming up. But first, Rich, what time is it?
James, it is time for the clip of the day.
This is the James Golden clip of the day.
In America, capitalism is our system. It is our economic system, but it has not served our economy as well as it should. You cannot have a system where the success of some springs from the exploitation of the workers and springs from the exploitation of the environment and the rest. And we have to correct that.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi, who, by the way, ask Nancy Pelosi how she made her fortune and what workers helped her and her husband make her fortune so she could enjoy her two freezers full of ice cream while bitching and moaning about American capitalism. Please, somebody ask her that one day. Meanwhile, let's head to the telephones. Rich, where are we going?
All right, James, good afternoon. We are going to start with Andy in New Jersey.
New Jersey, welcome. Hello, Andy. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden, a.k.a. Snurdly.
Hi, it's Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. It's a thrill to talk to you. To follow up with that, what your guest was talking about, I was thinking that part of the reason the whole reason they want to return the Haitians is, number one, they're more likely to vote Republican because of how the United States is dealing with France right now. Additionally, they may have be remembering how the Clinton Foundation treated them a number of years ago.
You're brilliant, Sandy. And if you don't know what Sandy's talking about, the Clinton Foundation came to Haiti under the illusion that they were going to help them after one of their natural disasters. And guess who got enriched? The Clinton Foundation got enriched.
Yep. That's right. They really messed them up. So I think that's got to do with why the Haitians are slated to go back.
Please call us again. Where are we going next, Rich?
Next, let's say hi to Peter in New Jersey.
Hello, Peter from New Jersey. Welcome, WABC.
Hey, James, I caught your show Saturday morning. You were really hot, I'll tell you. It was great listening to you. Let's talk about the Taliban. They called that shot there in Afghan with their drone. Say, if the Taliban said to hit 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you think those imbeciles will listen to them?
Someone I read another.
Yes, James, okay. Let us take Ellen in New Jersey.
Hello, Ellen. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. How are you?
Oh, good. James, I can't tell you how happy I am that you were on the air 6 days. I just can't tell you. And the reason for my call, I'll say it quickly. On your program last Friday, you talked about how Trump did such great things concerning China. And because I have grandchildren in their 20s, I'd like them to know about this. Is there any way I could possibly obtain a transcript or anything for them to read?
WABC.com. If you go there and you go into all of the podcasts, you can go to that day and download that show and listen to it, and they can hear it. WABCRadio.com, WABCRadio.com. all the podcasts. And you can find not only this show, but you can find every show on WAB.
Tonight at 10 p.m., feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story, talking to the biggest names, covering the biggest stories. She's Rita Cosby.
You have to fight, and you have to believe in what you have and believe in your country.
Tonight, listen to The Rita Cosby Show, weeknights at 10 on 77 WABC. It's a long way till dawn without Frank Morano and the other side of midnight.
Is time travel actually possible?
Intriguing conversation, guests and callers.
You are the fairest, most open-minded talk show host in this area.
Who needs sleep when you've got Frank Morano and the other side of midnight?
It is simply remarkable.
WABC, time is winding down. Do we have time for one more call, Rich?
Sure. Let's take Burl in Las Vegas.
Oh, I love it. Las Vegas. Hi, Burl. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden.
Thank you, Mr. Golden. So good to speak to you today. You know,
Thank you.
I want to preface my comment by saying I am a black female and I support legal immigration, but I just think the optics are so bad about what's going on with these Haitian immigrants. I mean, we've been hearing for months about how they've been applying, you know, Hispanic immigrants around the country and dropping them off in the middle of the night on buses. And all of a sudden, as soon as a bunch of black people show up under a bridge, it's like, oh, get the planes out. We're sending them back to Haiti. I mean, where's BLM? Where's isn't there any uproar about maybe how unfair this could possibly be?
Or well, Burl, I am so happy you called that because I've been talking about that. I said the other day, this is your racist Democrat party at work. We're going to send the dark ones back. We don't want those darky ones here in America. And that is exactly what Joe Biden's administration is doing. Thank you, Burl, for bringing that up. And call us again, Burl. Love hearing from you. Sorry we couldn't get to everyone online. We will try. We will be here tomorrow. So many other things happening. Look, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here each and every day with us. We love being here on WABC tomorrow, same time on WABC. Bye.